This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the special guest host of today's Godcast, Josh Ronaldo.
You know, Chris, God is doing amazing things on campus, but, you know, you're basically a missionary, you and your wife and your little baby Benny. Mm-hmm. You guys are missionaries to TCNJ, and that costs money. I mean, so... Mm-hmm. What's it look like this year?
Sure.
What's it look like? How much do you need?
The money we raise, it goes to support what it takes to pursue that vision for us and how we perceive is the best way we can to pursue that vision. And so we have different ministries, like small group ministries. We have our large group ministry on Thursday nights. And then we have dining hall ministry. Lots of different things we're doing. Evangelism on campus. And so staffing costs are a lot of that. That's Christine and I in particular, staffing those things, creating both a leadership culture for those
events. What do you mean by staffing?
The opportunity to have someone who's been trained, like Christine and I, it's paying for us to be there and to get us trained and to get us the opportunity to be on campus. And so to staff the different ministries is something that we want to do well. InterVarsity trains us in lots of different times during the year.
That's true.
Sometimes it's hard to make it work into our schedule.
I know. Sometimes I don't see you guys for a couple months at a time because you're off training and all that thing.
It's awesome.
All that stuff.
It's a good thing. And having us trained and then being able to create leadership culture and training students for the different ministries is part of what we do as part of what the money would go to. And then other things is sort of a ministry budget. Let's say we are having an outreach and we feel like the best way to get students to come in to engage with us is to give away free ice cream and then engage them with spiritual conversations. The money, the $200 for free ice cream has to come from a budget. So that's kind of that sort of thing, or support us administratively. So we are a chapter around, we've been around 300, 350. We've been 200 and 350 for a while.
You guys are one of the bigger chapters of InterVarsity.
You
hover around 300 plus people.
Yeah,
that you have to take care of, and that presents a lot of different challenges as well.
But. Yeah, I think administratively is one of the bigger ones. College students don't tend to be the richest folks on campus.
That's right.
The broke college kid is the stereotype. So for us, in different life stages, we have different access to funds to be able to partner with what God's doing on campus. And as a college student, it's your time and energy normally. That's the way you can partner, your prayer, obviously. In different life stages, if you're, you know, adult with making money on a monthly basis, salaried or something like that, you might not have the time and energy because you have a family and you might be doing stuff with your church or whatever. But funds might be a little bit more doable for you to partner with what God's doing on the college campus. And so that's basically our invitation, what our invitation looks like for people to be involved and stuff. In terms of what it goes to support, it's a lot of it's staffing costs, administrative overhead for InterVarsity, like national, so to be able to put on conferences, that sort of thing, training, and then a ministry budget, more or less what it goes to.
I mean, and then you guys have to live. I mean, Chris and Christine, they're new parents. They've got how old's Benny again?
He's 14 months.
Oh my gosh.
So fun.
Maybe we take a picture of him and put that on the website.
Oh my gosh,
he's a cute little guy.
Yeah, so much fun. So for us, it's being able to provide the opportunities for us to be on campus means that we have to replace a salary we might make elsewhere that would support our family to be on campus.
So you guys, you know, you can go to ahistorywithgod.com, click that link. You can partner financially. You can, like I said, you can send emails of encouragement. You can pray. Hey, maybe you live around the area and you might be interested in partnering in a real way, coming out to the campus, coming out to events. I know they'd love to have you out.
Yep.
I really do. I know that that's an important thing, just loving on a college student. It's really important. It's just so much God's doing on campus, Chris, and I'm blessed to be a part of it. I know our listeners would love to hear about some. I know that there's been healings. I know that there's been some really supernatural things going on. And,
sure.
You know, if you take a few minutes and share about that.
So I've shared a bunch about sort of the large scale things God's been doing in terms of campus-wide culture change and large numbers of people and things, but maybe I'll share some of the individual kind of stories.
Yeah, sure.
Give it a face to it. We began to see a fair amount of healing, physical healing, on campus, and it's kind of been growing. One of the sort of highlight stories, every May, we have a conference called Basileia, where New York and New Jersey schools that are involved with InterVarsity come up and get together to do a leadership training conference. At the conference, there's lots of chapters, about 500 students, and the InterVarsity chapter at the College of New Jersey, we get together in the evenings, 2 to 3 times, I think, when we were there. And during one of those times, it was a really fun experience where one of our students had a migraine headache in our meeting and wasn't doing so well. And so one of our students, Dan, invited her, hey, would you be okay if we prayed for you? And so prayed for her in the meeting, and instantly Jesse's headache went away. The migraine disappeared.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Right away. For Jesse, is a place where she wasn't sure in the past of whether or not God actually does this stuff.
Yeah.
And so
I guess she found out.
So it was interesting, man. It was a really cool introduction for her that God would just heal her. As she was sharing that testimony, how God had met her that way and kind of brought her into introducing in her healing, she's sharing the testimony. And then another student who was in the corner was like, oh my goodness, my headache just went away.
What?
And
that's
so
awesome.
As she's sharing the testimony, this guy Christian, his headache goes away instantly. And then maybe 15, 20 minutes later, there was a girl who was having a lot of stomach pain, couldn't stand up. As they tell me, they were praying for her, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, and God healed her of that as well.
Oh,
all
word.
In this like hour and a half period. And so
that is incredible.
It's really, that was a real fun night when God did that. So we're beginning to see that, and my dream really is to see sort of that, translating that into the evangelism experience at TCNJ, because I think what we see modeled in the book of Acts is really where we should model our evangelistic style after, which is power of God shows up, like say Acts 2, Acts 3, where, for example, Peter and John are on their way to the temple, see a guy who's begging, and instead of giving him a coin, they pray for him, see him healed. He starts going nuts because he's really happy, and then a crowd gathers, right? Crowd gathers. Peter is ready to go, inviting people to come to faith in Jesus. And so for us, we see like defending and confirming is really where I'd like to end up, because I think we do an awesome job as Christians in the defending piece.
Yeah.
We focus there around, you know, what's the apologetics look like? How do I be relevant to this student? How do I speak their language? I'll make sure I don't use Christianese. What type of words can I use to communicate? I don't know how well, and I mean, I think there are definitely folks that are doing great, but really for me, I feel like the piece that we want to see at TCNJ kind of introduced and explode really is the confirming piece, which is the power of God demonstrating the love of God. And so going in and praying for folks as we share our faith, or inviting them up to proxy stations and seeing God heal a student, maybe a crowd gathers, then we get to share the gospel with 12 people or something like that. So love to see something like that happen. Seeing that sort of thing happen to some extent before, would kind of have a dream to see that happen on campus. And they say added to their number daily in the book of Acts. And then they say 2,000 people come to faith and 3,000 people come to faith. I think that I'd really like to engage in that style.
Why not at TCNJ?
Right, man. So it's only 6,000 people. We only need 2 Acts 2 days. You know what I mean?
We got the whole campus.
Oh, yeah. Man. So I just pray that the Lord, if you want to partner with us in prayer, that the Lord would really radically come in and move powerfully on campus. And we really believe that God is going to do a radical work this year, in these next coming years with the students, and seeing growth. So that's a great way to partner with us.
It's awesome, Chris. I mean, I can't tell you how excited I am for what God's doing at TCNJ. And it's just such a great opportunity to partner. And I think we all could have a great opportunity here in partnering with what God's doing through you guys at TCNJ,
yeah.
and Inner Varsity as well at TCNJ, and you're one and you're, you know, mm-hmm. you're the same group, so.
Yeah. One of the things that's really valuable to us is, as I mentioned, like, we call it a partnership in for a reason. Just like Heidi Baker talks about herself. She says she's one little old lady in the dust. Yeah. We all know she is, and she's speaking the truth. And likewise, like, we're a team of people who would partner with that, say, that ministry. And so,
yeah.
kind of giving them an opportunity to kind of go and reach the people they're trying to reach. And so for us on campus, it's so much a team thing. Christine and I are able to do something unique in that we can lead students and equip and train them. But for us to invest that time means that we can't do as easily give to ourselves, you know?
Right.
So we need, there's financial enablement that needs to happen. There's prayer covering that needs to happen. There's actually students that need to do stuff, need to share their faith. And so it's really a partnership between God, students, Inner Varsity staff, and then more widely churches and individuals who have a picture of what God might do on the campus. And so together, sort of, I function a lot as a coordinator of, hey, we believe that in response to God's love, grace, and truth, Inner Varsity is pursuing this. And so would you come alongside what God's doing? And so I really often function as a coordinator between partners abroad and partners on campus and Inner Varsity staff partners and stuff like that.
But I know that you've done some other things for a number of years before that. So why don't you tell us how you got into this?
I went to the College of New Jersey as a student from 2004 to 2007, and I graduated with an English education degree, so naturally I went into finance afterwards. My dad owns a small financial firm, basically. So I went to work there for a few years, found that, you know, when I was teaching, it just didn't really fit where I wanted to go with my life, and kind of came to that realization later in college. And so did finance, worked in event planning, systems administration, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's really like campus ministry.
Yeah, there's, you'd be surprised, there's overlap. But yeah, it definitely wasn't campus ministry. Actually, I worked for Inner Varsity, and when I was graduating, my senior exit interview, they interview the seniors that are graduating,
uh-huh.
the staff workers do, and they had asked me if I was interested in Inner Varsity staff, and I said no, and there wasn't much of a conversation that came after that.
Oh, and, interesting.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I basically rejected the idea because, one, I didn't know what staff work was too much, and didn't like the idea of fundraising, and just didn't really get it. And so I graduated and went to work for my dad in the financial firm there. And in November 2011, I think it was, God started 11-11, if you didn't notice that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Chris has a thing about
yeah.
11s
yeah.
that God speaks to him.
It's pretty funny. I started to feel a little restless, actually a little prior to that, started feeling a little restless in the job I was at. And I was making good money, and I was on track to actually be the COO of the company, and kind of liked the outlook of the job in terms of comfort and providing for my needs and my family's needs. But I didn't know if that's what I wanted my life to be about, and particularly, you know, the impact of my life and what I wanted to be about. So I started in the fall of 2011, kind of dreaming about what I want to be, 20 years from now, what do I want my life to have been like looking back? You know, those 20 years, what do I want those 20 years to have been about? And so as I began sort of dreaming about that, you know, ministry started coming up a bunch in my heart. And it wasn't that in finance I couldn't see the kingdom of God come and invade people's lives in the financial industry. I certainly could. But for me, it just didn't resonate with where I felt like my purpose was. I really felt like ministry, and specifically college students, Inner Varsity, started coming up in my heart. So really interesting, right?
It's really interesting, yeah.
Yeah, so it was there. It was there as I was dreaming in my heart, like there was something about it. So my wife was on staff and at the College of New Jersey already, and she kind of went straight out of college onto staff at Inner Varsity.
Mm.
And as I was dreaming, I started to begin conversations with Christine, particularly about what it would look like for me to go on staff if I did, you know, just real preliminary. And so Christine and I talked one evening, I remember, and kind of landed on my ideal job description if I were to work, you know, with her at the College of New Jersey. And wouldn't you know it, that the very next day, my boss now came into the office where Christine was and proposed the very same position to Christine about for me. She said, would your husband ever consider working at the College of New Jersey and doing this? Which was exactly what Christine and I had landed on the night before.
Goodness, that's awesome.
So that was a real helpful prod forward. So I began kind of pursuing things as I remember it. And the Lord sort of began whispering things to me and journaling about it, thinking about it. And in particular, in November, I believe it was, 2011, I felt like the Lord gave me a call to ministry in a quiet time, just journaling, asking the Lord about sort of what I've been dreaming about, and felt like he was saying, you know, I've called you to InterVarsity for such a time as this. And for me, I hadn't particularly loved the phrase for such a time as this. I just didn't like it. So for me, it didn't feel like me. It felt like God to some extent. Pretty immediately afterwards, it was funny. I felt like I got attacked. I had a week that was really hard. I really started to feel like really a lot of weight on me, kind of sadness, depression sort of feeling kind of came on like within a day, I'd say, of that kind of call. And so maybe a week later, I was up in North Jersey at a prayer house there, and a guy I'd only met maybe once before just kind of came up to me and was like, hey man, can I pray for you? And so he's praying for me, and I noticed when he prayed that he mentioned for such a time as this.
Oh wow.
And so I was like, okay, that's interesting, for such a time as this, and gone twice now. And then, so you'll remember this part, the very next day, so that was Saturday night, Sunday morning, the following day, I was in church on my way out of church. I ran into you, Josh. Outside the church bookstore. And so Josh was sitting down outside the bookstore, and there was a case of resale books, so you know, donate your book, they'll sell them for $1 so they can make money for the church and stuff. Being an English major, I love looking at books. And so I just went and checked out the case. And wouldn't you know it, for such a time as this was the name of one of the books. And so Christine...
I do remember that.
Yeah, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's hilarious. So Christine and I were talking, and Josh were talking, and I pull out the book, and I look on the front cover, because I had a hunch that God had a word for me on this, because it was called For Such a Time as This. I just felt like I had a hunch that, like, maybe God has something for me on this. And I looked at the front cover. It's by this lady, Vonette, and it says something like, becoming God's maximum woman in today's civilization. I was like, oh my gosh. And you know what was funny, though, is then I then asked Christine, hey, do you think it's only $1? Do you think you could buy it for me? So she went in and bought it for me. Oh, man.
Oh, I remember that one.
So I got the book, started reading it, and thought it was good. I don't remember anything really standing out. A few days later, I was describing to Christine the book, and it was really interesting because as I was describing it, I was unaware, but Christine noticed something really powerful, and that was this lady Vonette is actually Vonette Bright. She was the wife of Bill Bright, who's the founder of Campus Crusade. And she was, at the time when she was writing, she was recording her journey of evaluating whether or not to come on staff with Campus Crusade, an already thriving ministry on campus. And she decides, yes, I'm going to join my spouse in campus ministry. And the book's called For Such a Time as This. And so the Lord had used the words For Such a Time as This in my like call to ministry, and then sort of confirmed it a few different times, and then nonetheless, with very clearly with Vonette Bright, having the same journey, same like name associated with it. So it was powerful, but I was unaware of that. And so when I was sharing this with Christine, she was like, oh my gosh, Chris, don't you see this? And I was like, what? And she was like, this is the same journey you're on. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And so that sort of, along with a conversation with Kathy had with Christine, where it was the same idea, and lots of other really important things, kind of made the call to ministry really clear. And it's been an interesting journey. So after that, the big thing was just fundraising.
Yeah.
And I saw it as fundraising, not raising partners into ministry, but at the time,
that was a real wall, but saw the Lord kind of get me past that and raise funds and stuff like that. When the Lord made it really clear that I was supposed to come on staff, I sat down in the library, tried to figure out how much money we would need to be raising and just to make an estimate. It was quite a bit. And I was, wow, I don't know I can do this. And as I was sitting there, I had one of those moments that was like, this is so rough. I don't even know what I'm going to do. I don't know if this is possible. I was listening, I had my iPod, I think it was on random song selection. I have a couple thousand songs, I'm pretty sure, on my iPod. All of a sudden, within a couple minutes, is playing this song by Misty Edwards that says, I knew what I was getting into when I called you. And it just kind of repeats that and affirms the fact that God sees what he's calling people into before they see it. And so when I saw the fundraising, it hit me and I was overwhelmed. But the word spoke over me like, I knew what I was getting into when I called you. And so for me, it became sort of the backbone of my faith for stepping out and asking folks to partner with me in ministry. So I did, and I stepped out, and in 5 months, I raised $11,000 a month, or $55,000 in 5 months while working in another job. And that was so incredible because the Lord knew what he was getting into.
Yeah.
And partnering with him, the results were just uncanny. So
yeah, I would say so.
That's really, and I think a part of my call in terms of dreaming and in terms of what I do is to call people to dream.
Yeah.
To call people to dream with God.
Yeah.
For the things that are on both on your heart and his heart, and to dream for what he's calling you to, and to dream as big as he is. Because the Lord encouraged me to dream, and because I began dreaming, he started speaking into my dreams and then called me into them and then provided amazing resources. And so I think as we dream, we can dream with faith that he's going to provide for that or whatever. So it's real good.
When we think specifically about partnering with him, we invite our students to dream alongside us for big, big things. And for you, it might be, you know, if you're a listener, you might be thinking about your workplace. Dreaming small might seem more realistic. Like, you know, maybe one or two people came to faith in my workplace. Wouldn't that be cool? I invite you to dream as big as you think your God is. What would it look like if God transformed your community? And that's really the World Changers Develop piece of InterVarsity. It's not to stay on the college campus. The goal of InterVarsity is to transform universities, so to transform universities, transform culture at large. So that's a lot of what our message is dreaming about changing the world and changing your particular world that you're in through partnership with Jesus. And so that's what we invite you to do, is just invite him in and dream with him for big, ginormous things.
Amen, brother. That's good. Thank you for taking the time to, you know, share with me and all of our listeners about what God's doing. And I think we should have Dan on at some point, because it sounds like Dan is somebody to watch out for, and
he's awesome.
Definitely a big guy.
Yeah. God is doing some amazing things to that boy.
So that's going to wrap up this week's Godcast. Until next week, remember this: we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord.
And stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries, seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.